a sports news update for Keza. Struggling with knee, back or neck pain? Rebuild your strength with a Keza Physio today.
Tommy Morris is working the phones, which we love.
Right up to the death.
How are you? Welcome to you. Just before that, it's for Keza. Struggling with back pain, now is the time for Keza. Phone's ringing hot, is it?
Which coach is stepping down
now? No one as far as I know, Bucks. Morning to you both. My understanding is that Carlton board member Craig Matheson will resign in the next 24 to 48 hours from the board.
Wow.
Which is significant given the upheaval off the field. Now, I know that Mark Robinson in the Herald Sun has forecast this in his tackle, that there might be a board member that resigns this week. My understanding is that Craig Matheson will be that board member. There's a lot going on behind the scenes at Carlton. Luke Sayers has another year to run on his presidency before he has to step down as per their constitution. And there is widespread frustration with how the club is playing. Yeah. Not just with Michael Voss and the coaching staff, but also with the players. I don't know where to start with their problems, but I do know that when you have a board that's not necessarily stable or not necessarily happy with the way things are going, there are board members that wanted Ross Lyon, there are board members that wanted Michael Voss, that things aren't all that happy at Carlton at the moment.
Well, you can't back announce. So if you missed out on Ross Lyon, so what? You can't back announce now and say, yeah, we should have done this, we should have done that. It doesn't do anyone any good. And, of course, the board aren't happy. Mm. No one at Carlton's happy at the moment. Supporters, the players, the coaches, the board. So fair enough.
Yeah.
And you sort of work out, all right, do you stick fat and do you roll the sleeves up and get your hands dirty and get to work when things get tough, or do you just change stuff?
My biggest concern would be, what levers do you have to pull? Now, like if you look at the turnaround for Collingwood, which Bucks lived through from a list point of view, it was absolutely drastic. And what they did was heavily criticised. And I think a lot of us were sort of questioning, what are they doing? This is absolutely brutal. How can you treat people like this? Mm. And that's what we're saying. But in the end, it was a brutal football decision.
Yep.
Do Carlton need to look at clearly their list and what levers they have to pull with their list, because there is no room to move with what they've got? Yeah, De Koning might go and you get a good draft.
Paddy Dow might go.
But you're not going to get much for Paddy Dow. This is, they're all in on this group, and to be all in on a group that hasn't achieved anything is a risk. So I can understand if Geelong are struggling with their salary cap and they've had to reward players who have improved and with big deals, but Carlton have done that with no success.
Yep. Well,
then you're looking at it going, well, there's not that much with this list, particularly through the midfield, that is going to cause any grief for the opposition.
Do you reckon they're under salary cap pressure?
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
100%.
Mm. They're paying very few players a lot of money. So it's a different salary cap structure to a lot of other clubs. They've re-signed Sam Walsh and Paddy Cripps and Mackay and Curnow long-term and paying them significant money to stay at the club, which is great. But it means that they've got players on the list that are on very little money compared to maybe what they'd be on at other clubs.
And you see it, don't you? Like, you see their bottom six, they struggle. Their bottom six really struggle. So, yeah, I just, and then I don't know about the psyche of the rest of the players when that happens. And you see Mackay signed till 2030 on a deal worth $1 million. And many others, including Williams and others. Mm. And I know you're raising your eyebrows.
I'm just talking about, we suppose what the salary cap situation is.
They've publicly said they've got little room to move in their salary cap.
No, I understand all of that, but we make these judgments on all the information as you do. You put all the information and it pieces together the picture that you're looking at.
Yeah.
So the way clubs handle salary caps, the way they handle their TPP, says a lot about the organisation itself, says about what they value, and it actually sets you up for success or for failure.
Mm.
So Geelong have been able to, underpay, and they've got a flatter structure. They're able to have more talent in there. Quality of life, they sell really heavily, out of the big smoke down in Geelong. You can get away from it if you want to. You know, Sydney's the Kohler argument is real because it's more expensive to live up there, but you've got this very similar TPP that you're trying to work under. But then Buddy was, that was a big play, and they were able to sort of get reward for that in some shape or form. But It's fascinating the way that clubs handle their and it happens under the surface.
Yeah,
and we don't talk about it until you either get a lot of you get great success and you sort of talk about how this underpinned it, or you get failure and you say, oh well, that made it nearly impossible.
So this is my whole point that I continue to bang on about. If player wages are public, it holds the club accountable to how they spend their money.
I'm for that.
And the supporters can say, the Carlton supporters who are pulling their hair out going, we're just given Pitnet 4 years.
Mm.
If that is public knowledge, that the fans can actually see, okay, this is what we're paying him, this is what we're paying him. I can see Pitnet versus other ruckmen in the competition that are of a similar ability and what Brisbane are paying Oscar McInerney, and I can compare that. Footy fans are so knowledgeable, but we're left absolutely in the dark about how the club spends their biggest asset, and that is what they pay their players.
Would you make senior coach salaries public as well then?
Well, that doesn't bother me as much.
Would
because
you
it's not in a salary cap situation.
It's sort of a soft cap.
It's in a soft cap, yeah.
Well, I think you're in the public sphere. You're a membership-based structure where people buy into the organisation. It's not dissimilar to being on a board at a listed company, and your wage or what you earn from it needs to be declared.
So, Tom, just that breaking news: Bruce Matheson going to step down from the board.
Craig Matheson, yeah, Bruce's nephew, who of course Bruce was in the news recently when he gave those inflammatory quotes to the Herald Sun.
Yep.
My understanding is that he'll step down from the board in the next 24 to 48 hours.
What else happened in overnight sport?
Overnight sport. So the English Premier League, just 7 seasons after they won the Premier League, Leicester City have been relegated. It's quite a remarkable story. First that they won it, now that they've been relegated. Leeds were also relegated. Everton survived after a 1-0 win. Up the table, Aston Villa held on to 7th, and we know that Man City won as well. Great effort that Brighton finished in European places, as did Liverpool and also Newcastle. Probably my favourite story from all of this is Luton Town being promoted. That stadium holds 11,000 people. It is the smallest stadium ever in the English Premier League. If you actually go to the away end, there's houses on the street and you enter through one of the houses. So I don't know how they're going to be able to do that up. But they've been in the fifth tier. They've come up 4th, 3rd, 2nd, and now they're in the Premier League. That's a great story.
Outstanding. Tom, great stuff there. We'll check in with you a little bit later on in the program. Big news out of the Blues there. Craig Matheson set to step down from the board in the coming days, and in the NBA Bucks as well. I know you've been captivated by this story between Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, but Tom's gone now, but when he comes back, I want to know where the 0.9 of a second came back onto the clock. Jimmy Butler was fouled going for three at the 3-second mark or 2.1 second mark, they're trying to say, and then shot those three-pointers to give them a lead, but then an extra 0.9 of a second went on the clock for the inbound for the Celtics, and they were able to use
They got
that.
It done. Game 7 at the Garden tomorrow for the right to play the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals. That was all of your sport.